Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms and the 71st Psalm. People talk about Psalm 71 as a chapter. Each psalm stands alone. It is a collection of 150 of them, and each stands alone, and yet they all stand together without conflict. I want to, with the help of the Lord, and before I read, I want to thank you again and again for your love for Fleeta and me and for our ministry. The Lord has entrusted to us for a while in 1976 when I left the pastorate and began in evangelism and missions, 1976. And I will tell you about a little more stuff in about personal stuff in the message. Any professional truck drivers here? Retired or busy, active? Well, I don't see you.
Up here.
Yeah. Where? Up there. Oh, way up there. Okay. You still driving? I've never been a professional truck driver, but my wife said if I had been an evangelist, I would have been an over-the-road truck driver. From 1976 until now, I have driven over 2,200,000 miles in this country. And I've traveled, we've ministered on every continent except Antarctica, thank God. But I don't want to go there. I want to talk with you tonight and give you my personal testimony. I've only done this one other time in all of these years. And this morning I spoke on God's personal testimony. Introduced himself, told us what he's like, what he will do, what he will not do. Tonight I want to talk on my personal testimony. I would like for you on the count of three to say very loudly, me too. One, two, three.
Me too.
All right. You're not very much at saying amen. But tonight when I say something and start talking about these points that I want to make, you say,
me too.
Amen. If you can say them and they apply to you. There's 24 verses in this psalm, and we'll look at them. Father, thank you for the privilege of being a part of this church today and for the support of Fleeta and me in our ministry of Revival Crusade and their liberality in love and in giving. And I pray your continued blessing on each person who works in any capacity as a member of this fellowship. We're living in dangerous, perilous, violent time. Help them to stand firmly and be fruitful and flourishing in the work. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to point out five things when I get into the message. And when I say one that rings your bell, I want you to say,
me too.
Me too. December the 4th, I will be 87, but December the 5th, I'll be 88. Okay. I was born, so they told me, I was born December 5th, 1935, about 1:30 in the morning, so they said, and I was about 3 weeks late, so they said, and I've been late ever since, I guess. My daddy was... Me too? Who said that? You did? Okay. That's amazing. Okay, me too. That my father was Robert Ralph Matthews. He started preaching in the spring before I was born that winter. When his mother died, when my dad was 5 years old, my grandfather had five children, two died, one at age two, one at age 12, one with some kind of spinal meningitis or something, the other when he worked as a sawyer on sawing logs and steam engine, and my daddy's older brother was crushed by a log that rolled off on him. So there was my aunt and my dad, and then another aunt, and that's the family. But my mother was Flora Milam. She was the seventh of 14 children, seven of whom, 11 of whom lived to adulthood, and she was the seventh of that group. And because of that big family, I had 29 cousins, first cousins, and big get-togethers. Before I was five, I could tell you how to be saved. We used to play church. My brother, 2 years older, played the piano for the choir and the congregation when he was eight. How would you like to have that shadow hanging over you? Me too? No, you didn't say that. No. My sister, 21 months younger, at 4 years of age, had rheumatic fever, wasn't supposed to live, wasn't supposed to have children, and so on. She retired as a police captain from the city of Gadsden, Alabama, had two children. She's with the Lord. My brother, the piano player, accordionist, and all of that, has been with the Lord 7 years. I'm the only one left. And we would have church on Sunday afternoon. We had 10, 12, sometimes even more than that, who would come to our house when Daddy was pastoring the church. We kids would play church. And if it was summer, we would meet outside. Dickie would play the accordion, and if it was cold or rainy, we'd meet inside and he'd play the piano. The Mary Etta Smales, S-M-A-I-L-E-S, was our designated shouter, and she would shout every Sunday that we played. And can't remember who led the singing. It wasn't me, but brothers Kenny and Larry Blake would take up the offering. If it was outside, it'd just get grass or pebbles. Inside, it was just stuff. And once it was one of the buttons from the back of the couch that he's pulled out. But I was the preacher. Nobody else ever was. I was the preacher. And let me ask you this. Would you rather have a super IQ or a super memory? My IQ is all right. I'm not dumb, I'm not brilliant, but for years my memory was phenomenal. I didn't study, I just made good grades. My daddy could preach a sermon on Sunday morning, and that afternoon I could preach it basically word for word, gesture for gesture. I had that kind of mind. In late 20s, I had viral encephalitis, that instead of the cold settling in my lungs and giving me pneumonia, it focused on the membrane between my brain and my skull. Terrible pain, days, sometimes out of my head. It left me with what they said was holes in my memory. And if I can remember something, I remember a lot of it, but there are times that I have no idea. My wife asked me once, looking at some old sermon notes, "When were you at Lingleville, Texas?" And I had been there for a week of meetings, and we had 27 people saved that week, and I, to this day, have no memory of ever having been to Lingleville, Texas. It's like holes in Swiss cheese. So if I can't remember it, Swiss cheese. Me too. I could give you the plan of salvation when I was 5. I knew I was so lost mentally. I knew I was lost when I was 5. I was not saved until I was 11, 1947. But for weeks before I had been saved, I was under deep conviction because I was afraid that the Lord would come and my brother and sister and mother and daddy go to heaven and I would be left. My father was preaching a revival at a neighboring church about 10 miles, away from the church where he pastored. And I had gone to church with him on a Saturday night, and he had preached on Daniel 5, Belshazzar, and thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. For the first time in my life, what I knew in my head moved into my emotions, my heart, and I felt lost. When he gave the invitation, my arm went up by itself, but I pulled it down quickly. On the way home, just he and I in the car, he said, "I saw you raise your hand tonight." Didn't say a thing. He said, "You want to talk about it?" "No." That was it. 3 weeks later, on a prayer meeting, I got saved. A miner, coal miner with limited education, a lay preacher, was in charge of the prayer service because my daddy was still preaching that revival that was then in its third week. And so people testified, and he talked a bit and then said, anybody have anything they want to say before we dismiss? And I said, yes. He said, what is it, son, or Glennie? And I said, aren't you going to give an invitation? He said, I hadn't thought about it. Why? I said, because I got to get saved. And I got saved that night. Had I done what I should have done, I would have preached the next Sunday. I knew before I was saved, I knew that I was going to have to be a preacher. And I didn't want to be a preacher. My daddy was one. Bad enough to be a preacher's kid, much less be the preacher. I could sing. I knew music. I've led choirs of 200 plus. I've done all kinds of music. And I have 9 different musical instruments in my house, and I can't play either one of them very well, but I have them. But God put me in the ministry. Through college, seminary, all of that, and some wonderful church in Maryland that lets me come and preach for them occasionally gave me an honorary doctor's degree, minister for, as of next February, will be 71 years. I want to read to you verse 16 of Psalm 71. We will eventually read all 24 verses, but I will give you my life verse for the last 45 years. Verse 16, this is my verse. I will go, and that's what I do as an evangelist, missionary. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. That's how I go. Many times I have stood and preached with a kidney stone that I need to pass, and I've had 19 of them blasted out, and I actually feel better at the end of the sermon than I do at the beginning. I go, in the strength of the Lord God, that's how I go. I will make mention of thy righteousness, that's what I do. Even of thine only, that's all I do. I've had opportunity after opportunity to get involved in these businesses. And Brother Matthews, you don't have to say anything. Have to sell anything, you just give us the names of people, and when they sell, you'll get a percentage. God's never given me permission to do that. Amen. I don't worry about finances. I've got enough to last till Thursday or Friday. Never worry about it. That is my verse for the last 45 years. My verse. I had other verses before then, but this one has stayed as my verse, and I suppose will stay until the day I go to heaven. Psalm 71, the first of 5 statements. Number 1, the Lord is my habitation. Let me read verse 1, 2, and 3. In thee, O Lord, says David, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Those words, thy righteousness, occurs 5 times in these 24 verses. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Verse 3, the first of 5 H's. Be thou my strong habitation. The Lord is my habitation. It is a place of safety. Be thou my strong dwelling place, wherein I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to deliver me. For, because thou art my rock, my foundation, and my fortress, my defense. Do you know that Hebrew word, fortress, is Masada. You've ever been to Masada, ever been to Israel, you've gone to Masada, a fortress. That is, they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord is my rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of sorrow, whatever. That's my habitation. Thank God for my dwelling place. It is both my foundation, rock, and my fortress, my defense. Verse 4 and 5, deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man, for thou art, second H, my hope. O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. Amen. Amen. He is my hope. Well, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. One little girl was singing that song and got confused and ended with, all other ground is shamrocks. She's on the solid rock, and other rocks are shamrocks. Amen. He is my hope. When he shall come, when trumpets sound, oh, may I then in him be found dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. We have already read that he delivered me in thy righteousness, and there are four more times in it, this psalm, that it says, thy righteousness, thou art my hope. Verse 6 through verse 13, my help. For by thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. And four times in this psalm, he uses the word praise. Verse 7, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Purely new. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, the second time, and thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age.
Me too, amen.
That's me. Me too. Me too. Forsake me not when my strength faileth.
Me too, amen.
Amen. We're experiencing failing of strength. For, because mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. Sounds like Psalm 2. that the nations of the earth have taken counsel together, and they say, God has forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there's none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me, O God. Make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with the reproach and dishonor that seek my heart. He is my habitation, my hope. He is my strength, my help. Mine too. Me too. Look in verse 14 through verse 21. I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Four times in this psalm mentions praise. None of us will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and say, God, forgive me, but I spent too much time praising you. We'll not say such. Amen. And verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness. There it is again. And thy salvation, deliverance all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And then my verse. I will go and I will continue as long as he permits me to go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only, O God. Also now, when I am old and gray-headed, O Lord, forgive me not, forget, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Amen. That's my objective. Thy righteousness, there it is again, thy righteousness, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. He is one, O-N-E. He is only, O-N-L-Y. And he is over us. Verse 20. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again. Going to resurrect me and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Amen. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Verse 22, 23, and 24, the last movement. But in verse 20, don't overlook it. It's a reference to the resurrection. I'm going to have one. If the Lord doesn't come quickly, I'm going to go to him. I would rather he'd come quickly. I'm going to have a new body, like unto his glorious body. I had 18, 19 years ago, I had knee replacement, my right knee. And I made such good progress that I overdid my exercises. And I was lying on the couch, my right knee about the size of a cantaloupe. My wife was outside riding on the lawnmower, cutting the grass. That's my job. I felt so bad. That little woman only weighed 110 pounds. She's down to 4 feet, 10 inches now. And here she's out there in the, on that John Deere cutting about 3 acres of grass. And I'm sprawled out on the couch. I had the worst thought I have ever had in my life. I thought, wouldn't it be awful if we get to heaven and God gives us our new body one part at a time? That was my thought. Ooh, that's horrible to think about. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. Amen. Now, verse 16 that I've read as my life verse with an H, I have put in the word heralding. I am a herald. I am a bringer of, a bearer of good news. I'm a herald. Verse 22, 23, 24. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou holy one of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness the fifth time. That phrase, thy righteousness, occurs all the day long, for they are confounded, they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. That's my testimony. Me too. What's ahead? The Lord's coming, I know that. And I hope it's very soon. Because if He doesn't come soon, I'm going to see Him. If He comes, I'm going to say, what took you so long? Not really. I'm going to fall on my face and cry, holy, holy, holy. At this age, my goal is what Paul said, Acts 20, verse 24, as his goal is that I will finish my course with joy. I will finish with joy.
Amen.
Get your hymn book, please, 415. 415. You can't sing this song with a frown. It starts, I'm happy in the service of the Lord. I've just spoke tonight to encourage your hearts. If you're sitting here without a personal relationship with the Lord, come see somebody at the front. We'd be glad to talk with you, counsel, pray with you, and introduce you to Jesus. Take courage. Take courage.